So Hannah's been dreaming and, I was going to say scheming, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean, and listening to what the Lord is putting upon our heart at the moment, and we know that her role is kind of transitioning and changing. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow night. But one of the things that will start dominating more of Hannah's time is this whole area of whole life discipleship. What I think we're learning as a church over the years is when we put effort and energy and finance into something, we see that area grow. So we're going to be putting effort and energy and finance into the whole area of whole life discipleship. Okay, so each of you flourishing where you are planted. We're not making this about work, because it's about much, much more than just work. It's about God using you in the place where he's put you. And we want to see as many people as possible flourishing in that area as we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. So I'm not going to preach Hannah's sermon for her, but I am going to introduce a series, because we're going to be spending time over the next kind of year or so. We're going to be running our Simply Jesus series, and Hannah's going to be looking at these with us as she develops this role and it starts to take shape over the next kind of 8 or 9 months. So Hannah, come on up. We'll pray. Yeah. It says in the Bible that God is pleased to give us his kingdom. He's pleased to give us his kingdom. And he wants us then to share, to show, to display, to almost, you know, it's not ours to give, but to give it away, what he's given us. So we thank you, Lord. So it says, freely we have received, so freely we give. I pray for Hannah now as she sort of develops and shares with us the thoughts that are kind of brewing in her about how we do this as a church more effectively. I pray just give her wisdom and guidance and help now as she speaks. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. We believe that the church is the church when it really takes hold of this message of being a kingdom people, a conduit for your kingdom in this community. So I pray that we would be encouraged in that now by your servant Hannah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Again. So have you ever thought there must be more to life than this? More than this job, these relationships, this going through the motions, maybe even this Christian life? I have. And I was wholly convinced that living my life for God was what I was made to do. But I felt disconnect between what I believed and how I saw it working out day to day, minute by minute. Where was God? In my workplace, in the ordinary, in the chaos of family life. I knew he was there, but how did I connect with him in those places? How did my living in the everyday connect with my relationship with God? Beyond feeling guilty that I hadn't told someone about Jesus and brought them to faith recently or ever. Deep down, I have a desire to see a connection in every area of my life to my faith, for my relationship to Jesus to influence how I love my husband, how I parent, how I shop, how I care for the world God has placed me in, how I work, how I drive, and so on. And I want church to be a place that equips us to be the disciples Jesus wants us to be wherever we live life. And one of the things I've discovered as I've explored, there is no quick fix. So, as Matt says, I'm in the process of stepping into a new role, moving away from a lot of the day-to-day administration that Ginny is now capably handling, and looking at how what we do when we are gathered will disciple us for abundant life in Christ when we're scattered out in our daily lives. And I want you to see your daily context through God's lives, God's eyes. I want you to be part of the process of encouraging one another by sharing your stories of what God is doing in the everyday. We were so encouraged when Dan shared a few months back about how God was working with him in the shoe shop. And in a bit later, he's going to come up and share part two of that story as well. Each of us has a story to tell, but we may not realize it yet. God is at work in every minute of every day, and he wants us to partner with him. So I want to encourage you, as we go through these series, look out for what God is doing in the everyday and tell me your stories so that we can encourage one another. It's very powerful when we hear testimony. So this morning, I want to take a look at what the Bible says about our whole lives and how they relate to God's big story. So we're going to be jumping around the Bible a bit, but I'm going to start in Colossians 1. And I want to read this slowly because this passage is rich and I want you to get as much as you can out of it. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. One of the enemy's strategies is to limit our understanding of the scope of God. If he can limit us to thinking that God is only interested in what goes on when we gather together on a Sunday, or when we read our Bible, or watch the God Channel, or go to home group, then he's quite pleased because we're not recognizing that God made everything and is interested in all things. So look at the number of times all things appears up there. And what is excluded from all things? He made all things visible. Trees, elephants, planets, people, and invisible. Electricity, the wind, emotions. We could go on. We could spend the whole morning just listing things that God made, because all things are made for him and in him. As part of his creation, we were made through him and for him. So he is interested in how we live our lives, from the mundane bits to the dramatic, the dog walking, the day-to-day caring of an elderly relative, the big decisions made in boardrooms, the way we engage with world issues that feel beyond our control, the way we live in the midst of a worldwide virus. He is interested. So we're going to look briefly at four parts of the big Bible story: creation, sin, Jesus, future. In Christ, all things were created through him and for him. And in Genesis 1, it says this: Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." We are made in the image of God, in the image of God who describes himself as love. God is love. But he's also an active God. We see him busy for 6 days making the world. And he gives Adam a job too, to name all the animals. God could have done that himself, but he wanted to see Adam use his God-given creativity. He's a creative God. Look at the natural world and see what an imaginative God he is. He brought order, joy and beauty out of chaos. There was nothing. And then God put in land and sky and sea, days and nights, time to rest, time to work. He makes provision. He gave plants for people to eat. He builds relationship. He made us for relationship with him and each other. He cares for all he has made, and he's made all these things for his glory. And as God's image bearers, we can do these things too. We all know what amazing cakes Gwyn makes. When Gwyn bakes a cake or makes a craft activity for Launchpad, she is being God's image bearer in her creativity. Philip, who's not here this morning, I don't know how many of you know, Rosie's husband Philip, he translates Arabic to English for legal people, for legal cases. Without Philip doing that, there are some very confused lawyers out there because they can't read Arabic. And he brings order out of chaos for an awful lot of people who can't speak Arabic. Provision, Jonathan and Bob, they work at M&S. It's a place that provides us with food and clothes. Relationship. Each parent and grandparent and each of you working in an education setting has an opportunity to help children and young adults discover what healthy relationships look like. Beauty. Jem takes some moving images and edits them and creates beauty and story. Ginny takes every cleaning product in the church and changes it to an environmentally friendly one because she wants to reflect God's care for all that he has made. Nick is a dancer, and Karen is a runner. When they do these things that their bodies are so well made to do, they bring glory to God. God then tells people to be fruitful and multiply. Now, this is a bit more than having a lot of children. It means develop the social world, build family and community, schools, governments, cities, laws. Done well, all these things help us thrive. And he tells people to station. It's better to look at it to be those who take care of the world as God's image bearers. God has placed us in this world to be its stewards. We can harness the natural world, plant crops, build bridges, design computers, make electricity out of wind, surf waves. And it'd be lovely if we could just stop there, really, and enjoy being God's image bearers, living in perfect relationship with him, each other, and the world he's given us to live in. But it's not like that, is it? We know the world is broken. We all have a choice in this perfect world. And unfortunately, we've all sinned. Just like Adam and Eve, we've chosen our own way and fallen short of the glory of God. And Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take all that God has given us for our thriving and twist it. He wants to take away our God-given authority on earth. And sin now affects all spheres of life. So instead of making provision, greed has taken over, and there are those who have too much and those who are starving, without clean water, suffering the effects of climate change. And even closer to home, we rush to the supermarket to hoard the last pack of toilet roll. Instead of bringing order and thriving, some governments exist to benefit only a few. The arts don't just show us beauty, awe and wonder, but also depravity. Relationships are not all based on love. We know they can end with abuse, miscommunication, lack of trust, pain. And all that God has given us for good can be used to distract us and cause us to worship that rather than the Creator. We can become obsessive about the TV, about exercise, about food, about relationships. In fact, anything can replace God in our worship. and we can lose sight of how we should be treating those things. But we're not going to stop there. The good news is that John 10:10 doesn't end with the thief. It ends with Jesus. He has come to give us life in all its fullness. Colossians 1:19-20 says this about Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. On the cross, Jesus has not only reconciled each of us individually with God, he's reconciled all things. Christ is called the second Adam. He has come to restore humanity's rightful place and authority in this broken world. Christ has given us a great commission to establish the lordship and kingdom of Christ on this earth. We have a role to spread the influence of Christ into all things, to be part of that process of reconciliation. And Christians are doing it already. I love this quote from a guy called John Tyson, who I heard preach on this recently. And he said, "Wherever you find brokenness in the world, you will find God's people." The church is the body of Christ and is called to shape the culture around us, to take the things before us and bring Christ's redemptive and restorative power into those things, be they our homes, our workplaces, our communities, our shops, our systems, our government, our laws. And the church does not do this when they hang out together on a Sunday morning, which is really important too. We do it when we leave this place and live life. When we take ourselves to, when we gather to worship. When we take our broken selves that we laid before the cross in our gathering and know that we have been made righteous in Christ. When we take our identity and authority as children of God, which we rediscovered in our gathering, then we go filled up with the Spirit, with his fruit and the grace that is not of ourselves, to minister in a daily life that can be downright hard. And finally, the Bible says there's more to come. Revelation 21:5 says, "He who is seated on the throne says, 'I am making everything new.'" And the word here for new means renewed. We're not there yet, but Jesus, through what he did on the cross, is reconciling all things to himself, and eventually they will all be renewed. We're living in an in-between time. Jesus has done all that is needed on the cross, but we're not yet seeing everything made new. But he does not expect us to just sit around and wait for the good times to come. He invites us to be part of the process of bringing them in. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the first thing to remember is this is not about you trying a bit harder this week to work for Christ. He has come that we may have life in all its fullness. And only in his power can we hope to bring about his kingdom more on earth. So make the most of this holy moment to be refilled and restored. Make the most of carving out holy moments in your days between now and next Sunday to be filled and restored by Holy Spirit. Know that you are loved. You were created in God's love and for love. And that love is the only thing that can empower you to live differently this week. So make sure you soak it up regularly. And each day, invite Jesus to show you what he's doing in your everyday life and ask him to show you what he wants you to partner with him. I've been thinking about that phrase where Jesus says he only does what he sees the Father doing. So I'm trying to intentionally go into situations and saying, "What are you doing, Father?" so that I can see what he's doing in those situations. What are the cultures, places, people, things you do in your everyday life that Christ wants to reconcile to himself and to begin that process of on earth as it is in heaven in your lives? widen your horizons. He wants to reconcile all things. Your workplace, your family, your mental health, your physical health, creation, the climate, your behavior, your loves and passions, your finances. There is nothing out of Christ's scope. From the depths of our hearts to the way nations are run, he wants to reconcile all things. And he's also delighted for the small things we can offer him. Don't despise the small things. He can take that smile in the street, that hug for a neighbour, that wise suggestion in a meeting, that purchase that came from your heart, the bedtime story reading, the prayer for a stranger. And he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine with those small things. So Dan, it's your moment. I'm going to invite Dan down to share. And if he can recap what you shared the first time, because not everybody probably heard that as well.
Tales from the Shoe Shop, part two. Sequels are rarely better, aren't they? Apart from probably Empire Strikes Back or Terminator 2. They're never as good. So part one. I came here a few months ago and I said about how I'd been depressed and miserable and probably suicidal for a bit because I didn't have a job and I felt I was unemployable and whatever. And I accepted some help from some CAP and a job club and I got a job. And it's a good job. Amazing job. I'm still there now, a year and a half later. So that's a bit of a miracle in itself. But I work in the shoe shop and work in Clark's. And I was down measuring a child's feet one day and I was reminded of, you know, Jesus hung out with kids. He liked the kids. He said, yeah, bring the kids to me. And then he washed his disciples' feet. And I thought there's this symbolic thing there. So I took it upon myself when I was measuring children's feet to pray for them, just quietly in my head. Can't talk about God, obviously, because it's a shop. And over the summer, you can kind of keep track of how many pairs of shoes you sold. And I shared that I'd sold shoes to over 2,000 children, so that meant I'd prayed for 2,000 children. And I wasn't trying to big myself up, just trying to explain, actually, that these kind of walls, they're arbitrary when it comes to the Holy Spirit, because what the Holy Spirit is doing isn't confined to this building, so it's out there. And I said, I don't know if I'll see any fruit to this. I have no idea what. I just know I should be praying for these children while I'm at work. And then, Amy, she's not here now, but Amy was over there. I don't think she'd been to the church before. So she piped up and said, yeah, I remember you. And it's this beautiful kind of God thing. And then she's baptized and she's in the church and she's a part of it. So that's part one. That's beautiful. So I prayed for over 2,000 children. Probably more than that because not everyone bought anything. So part two. I've got a colleague at my work who has, I'm not allowed to talk about God at all, really. But she's got a biblical name. So I thought, maybe she's got some church in her. Well, yeah, we're friends on Facebook. And she's friends with him. She's friends with lots of people that are involved in churches. So also she's probably a Christian. But I'm a bit of a wimp, so I didn't say anything. Never said anything. But the parents here will know, if you're too scared to say anything, your kids will drop you in it as soon as there's an opportunity. Now, I gave my friend a lift to a party, and we were coming back. It was a colleague's engagement party or something. And Ruby, good old Ruby, she goes, what day is it today, Dad? So I said, it's Friday. What day is it tomorrow? Saturday. What day after that? Sunday. Oh, yeah, Sunday. That means we're going to church, doesn't it? So my friend looks at me. He goes, you go to church. Didn't say anything of it. Nothing of it. But I knew then I had an in. I had an opening. Now, I'm a bit of a wimp. I won't open the door. But when the door's open, I'll barge on through it. So we were having some conversations about God and stuff at work. And it just kind of, nothing particularly massive. But one day, in a busy moment, I was on the shop floor, and she was on the shop floor. She came up alongside me. She goes, sometimes, Dan, when I'm measuring the kids' feet, I pray for them. And I turned around and I went, you what, mate? And then we had a little chat out the back. she came up to me and she said, sometimes, Dan, or not sometimes, most of the time, when I'm measuring a child's feet, I pray for them in my head. And I said, you what, mate? So then we had a bit of a conversation, and we worked it out that, well, over summer, there was two of us praying for children's feet, and we probably prayed for 5,000 children's feet. So I just wanted to, I'd said it to Hannah in the office the other day, and it just kind of hit home that God's doing stuff, whether we think he is or not. And if we're obedient and we have a go, it's crazy the stuff he's doing in other people's heads. Yeah, so the kingdom is not just in here. It's out there. And that is it, really. That's part two. I don't know if there'll be a part three. The Matrix 3 wasn't very good. The third movies are normally rubbish.
Well, God likes to do things topsy-turvy, so I think part three is going to be way better than the third movie. And I don't want that to put you off telling me stories that I immediately the next Sunday will put you here in front of a microphone. I probably will, but I will ask your permission first. But isn't it so encouraging when we've heard that one story? So please do store up your stories and be brave and tell me. And if you don't really want to stand here, we'll find a way of telling your story in a different way, because it's just so encouraging when we hear that God is at work outside the four or 8 walls of this building. So I want to wrap things up by each of you reflecting on 3 aspects. I want us to look at ourselves, and then our community and our world. So if you want to get yourselves comfortable, maybe you want to close your eyes, remove any distraction. I'm just going to lead us in 3 reflections. So let's start with our own hearts. I said at the beginning, this is a lifetime journey. There's always more of us that Christ wants to transform so that we're more like the people he intended us to be. For a few people here, it might be that first big step of moving into a relationship with Jesus, recognizing you can't do this life thing anymore in your own strength, that actually you need him to be Lord and God and King in your life. Many of you made a decision to give your life to Jesus a while ago, but do you need to ask him to mold you a bit more? Are there things that you know are stopping him fully shaping you? I'm not going to list all the possibilities here. I just want you to sit for a few moments in silence, and I want you to talk to Jesus. Invite him to show you what area of your life he wants to reconcile more to himself. Now just hold on to what Jesus has been saying to you. And now I want you to draw to mind what you'll be doing this week. Where will you be going? Who will you be meeting? Invite God into that story. Ask him to highlight people, situations, areas that he wants to co-labor with you starting this week. Now we're going to think a bit wider. Think about the stories you're seeing in the news at the moment, or it might be the ones that aren't making the news but we know are happening. Ask Christ, how does he want to reconcile those situations, and what can you do? These ones feel so out of our control. This might be committing to pray, changing a habit that you know has a global impact, contacting those people with influence in those situations. Ask him to highlight just one thing that you could do in a situation that you feel is beyond your control. And don't worry if you didn't feel like God spoke to you clearly this morning. Sometimes this context isn't everybody's comfort zone for connecting with God, but I just encourage you to take those questions away, maybe when you're on your own, and just keep bringing those questions back to Him, because this isn't a one-off thing. We need to keep asking God, what are you doing? What do you want me to do as part of that process within my own life, within my community, within this world? Where do you want me to partner with you, to co-labor with you? But if you did feel God said something to you this morning, I'd encourage you to write it down somewhere soon. Note it down on your phone or get a pen and paper, because it's so easy to forget these things. And put it somewhere as a reminder for you. Maybe something, if you're a phone type person, put it to appear on your screen again tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that person or that situation or that challenge is going to arise. Then put it as a reminder, or stick it, if you're a paper and pen person, stick it somewhere prominent so that you come back to that. God made us to be activists in our worship of Him, and He invited us to pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And finally, I'm going to invite the band back up, please. I don't want you to leave this place empty. You may feel a bit overwhelmed as you look at yourself, your week, this world. Remember, this isn't about you doing this in your own strength. This is why we've come together, to be encouraged to encounter God together, to be filled up. So come to Him this morning empty-handed, but confident in the power that He has available to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in this week.